When it comes to heating up your business, it's all about making more bacon. And that requires an expert
with a particular set of skills.
You need
a Baconologist.
Building authentic connections, online networking, through social selling, relationship marketing, mindset and training.
Yeah, that's bacon.
Get ready, because we're about to fry up a sizzling success strategy. This is the Bacon Podcast with your host and business Baconologist, Brian Basilico.
It's a lot of bees, man.
Welcome, everybody. I'm your host, Brian Basilico, and this is the podcast where you learn to make your business sizzle online. So are you ready to fry up some new business?
Hey, peeps, I am uber excited. I have a good friend and a dude that's going to help us understand what's happening in the sales world today. His name is Craig Lauder, and he's with Mainspring Sales Group, LLC. But he's also an author. He wrote a book called Smooth Selling Forever. And it's a really great book. We'll talk about that and a whole bunch more. But Craig, man, how are you doing?
I'm doing just wonderful. Great day. The world of sales, particularly B2B sales, is very dynamic out there. There's a lot of opportunity for those who are willing to adjust the way from the way that they've done things in the past.
Absolutely. And I'm noticing change at a pace like I have never seen before. It is amazing how fast things are adapting and moving. But before we go into the future, I want to go to the past. What I like to do is to get people to know you better. So I want to know, how did you go from shoveling BBs onto a conveyor belt to shoveling sales systems into salespeople?
As Steve Martin would say, I started out as a child. And quite frankly, I came from a blue-collar background and had to work my way through school, where I ended up shoveling shot pellets at Caterpillar Tractor Company. Spent the next 35 years really getting involved with large businesses, as well as small and mid-sized businesses, in building effective sales organizations, as well as effective marketing organizations. And I hung out my shingle about 10 years ago in an effort to help others like me who are looking to close more sales faster and create significant, predictable, and sustainable sales growth.
Dude, that sounded like such a line.
But well, thank you.
You're welcome. It's true, though. But so what we're here to talk about today is, you know, I brought you on specifically because I wanted to talk about, you know, the state of the industry. Dun, dun, dun. You know, the thing is that, you know, over the last year, I've seen so much change in the sales industry, obviously, because you can't do the boots on the ground. We're getting back to that. But I think that things are going to change forever because you're really big into the virtual sales funnel and you think that it's here to stay. Why do you think that the virtual sales funnel is something that's going to stick with us?
Because I see it day in and day out. And unfortunately, most salespeople and many business owners have a misconception that virtual selling is new. It's not. Think catalogs, think newspapers, think direct mail. Think of Ron Popeil in the late night TV infomercials for Vegematic, et cetera. Inside sales, e-commerce. And because of the requirement to distance oneself, there have buyers as well as sellers have found multiple benefits in selling virtually. Buyers, for example, their top four are they're making better decisions. They're making faster decisions because it's easier to organize meetings. They're finding productivity gains as well as cost savings. And on the seller side, shorter sales cycles in some instances, productivity gains, cost savings, and easier access to subject matter experts and high-level executives. In fact, it's very interesting. When I started doing the tour providing virtual selling presentations, McKinsey came out with a report in November. And they stated in this report that 75% of business owners or business sellers and buyers are embracing virtual selling. And another 20% are saying, we don't want to go back at all to the old way of in-person selling. And so because of the benefits on both the buy and the sell side, the most progressive, the most organizations that are going to be successful in the long run are going to be those that embrace virtual selling, and they do whatever is necessary to be successful in virtual selling, which we'll talk about in a little bit, are six key building blocks that I see that are essential to effectively selling virtually.
Yeah, one of the things that I saw last year in some of the companies I've worked with is they actually let their sales team go because they had a boots on the ground type, you know, business setup. And the next thing that you know, they ended up letting them go and hiring a virtual sales team to replace them. And that's because, you know, obviously those people could not get into the facilities to meet with people. So, yeah, I definitely see that trend happening. So there are three key things that you talk about. And so why don't we go through those three and kind of just outline it, and then we'll kind of dig into each one.
Okay. Number one, we're in an age of what I'll call business theater, and marketing and sales must be very, very aligned. Buying decisions are made, 67% of the buying process is virtual. Most companies are doing research online, digital assets in terms of lead generation, developing marketing qualified leads as well as sales qualified leads is very important. Sales has to understand that their role is being pushed further down the sales funnel. And for marketing to effectively do the job of quality lead generations, it's like a piston going up and down. Sales and marketing need to be working together and collaborating on a very regular basis to make sure that the best opportunities reach the sales team and in turn result in a very high lead conversion rate.
I've given a couple of presentations specifically about that topic. And, you know, one of the things, and of course, you know, I don't like to be controversial at all, but the slide that I put up, the slide that I put up is that of Congress, you know, where you have the Senate on one side and the House on the other. And in bigger companies, sales and marketing tend to be exactly that. They can be in separate buildings and they don't generally talk to each other. And there's this one story, and I think it was attested to Ernest Hemingway. He wrote a six-word story, and the six-word story goes like this: for sale, baby shoes, never worn. Now you hand that same thing to a marketing person, what you end up is, now available, fine Corinthian leather, great support, excellent for your baby, helps them grow healthy, now available for sale. Right?
Right.
And that's what happens is marketing and sales don't necessarily match up. You know, the for sale baby shoes never worn is what the salespeople need. They need to get people to know what they have, understand the emotions. They're dealing with objections, where marketing always tends to, you know, be feature and benefit focused. You know, they tend to over explain it. Do you see that a lot?
Yes, I think the bigger challenge is that sales and marketing are silos, and they don't treat one another as the other's customer. And what's critically important for sales execution is that they're in lockstep with marketing in terms of the positioning of the products and services and the messaging that goes around those products and services. So like a relay, they can pass along the baton to the salesperson and the buyer is hearing the same thing. Same story.
Yeah. So generally speaking, it's a great idea to get the two of, if there is an organization with a marketing team and a sales team, to get them together in the same room and get them to share stories and brainstorm together and kind of work through that, right?
That's an absolute must if you're going to be successful in the long run.
Okay. Well, the second point that you like to talk about is that virtual is here to stay. Now, being a 20-plus year social distancing guru, since I've always run my business from my home, and, you know, I got out and networked, but, you know, the vast majority of the meetings that I was having was virtual. So it was, you know, nothing new to me. But I think there are people, especially in the sales side of things that, you know, like the traditional things that they like. I mean, they like to talk on the phone. They want to get on the phone. They like meeting a person. They want to go to lunch. And, you know, so there's those habits, those things that people have done forever. Why is virtual going to stick around, and how do people have to learn to adapt to it?
Great question. And that's we're going to get into that in the sixth building block. And that's really people.
Mm-hmm.
Owners are typically by profile demographically a bit older, you know, mid-30s, earliest 40s, 50s.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the buying audience today. They're becoming more and more millennials. And what have they grown up on? What are they accustomed to? And I like to give the example that I was at my granddaughter's soccer game and she was sitting next to another girl in the stands. And I go, "Who are you texting?" And they nodded at one another. And I says, "Why don't you talk?" And the response was, "Why?" So, you know, we're getting more of a millennial buying environment, and we need to understand how they collect and process information. And they're using virtual technology to do that. So we have to be there right with them as sales organizations.
Mm-hmm. And one of the things I've learned about millennials is they don't like email because they're so used to texting that they like the instantaneous feedback. I've got some customers, I send them emails and they never answer it. And they're, you know, but if I send them a text, I'll hear from them almost immediately. And I think one of the key things, and this goes to the marketing and the sales side, is I think we have to identify the customer themselves and find out where they're hanging out, right?
Oh, I agree with you 100%. I call that communication love language. And I will ask some of my clients, do you prefer a phone call, email, or you prefer text? And I'm hearing just exactly what you said. Well, if you really need to get in touch with me and you want a quick response, text me.
Yeah, it's huge. And you know, a story that I tell all the time is one of the first speeches I gave after I wrote my book was to a Rotary Club. And it tended to be older people. You know, in their 60s and 70s, retired. And I got done talking about all the benefits of social media and how cool it is and what it does and yada, yada, yada. And I said, "Are there any questions at the end?" And nobody raised their hand. All of a sudden, this one shy old guy raised his hand very slowly. And I said, "Yes, sir. What's your question?" He goes, "Why?"
Yeah.
And that was it. You know, and I think that's the question that we've got to ask all the time is, you know, if people are going to respond to these sales messages, these marketing messages, we have to understand their why.
Absolutely. As Simon Sinek says, it all starts with why.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, brother. All right. So let's dig into those six key building blocks. And you can go through each one of those and give us kind of a, you know, subsample of what they are. We don't have time to, you know, get the whole full chapter version. So you're going to have to give us the cliff notes. So fire away.
I will do that. Number one, buyer journey. Everything starts with the buyer journey. Changes in the buyer decision process will necessitate that sellers adjust their selling processes to accommodate the new buyer journey. Second, messaging. New digital sales support and marketing communication tools need to be created in order to gain attention, fully engage, and develop buyer relationships. Short and highly visual messages, including video, will be a must. Meeting cadence, number three. Virtual meetings, in terms of their length, are less than 45 minutes, and optimally, they're around 20 minutes. Because you're involved with shorter meetings, there are going to be more frequent meetings, and they need to be faster paced meeting so that the buyers stay engaged and thoroughly grasp the contents. The one thing that we have with virtual selling, it's very easy to look at your cell phone, text, do emails if you're virtual. So as a seller, it's our responsibility to make sure that we keep our buying audience engaged. Four, sales KPIs and scorecards. The sales performance indicators, both activities and results, need to be attuned to a virtual selling environment. What does that mean? Because there is much less wasted time, travel, organizing meetings. I could go on and on. Your activity levels should go up significantly. you can expect more. If we look at Zoom and some of the other video conferencing technologies, other than having a 5 or 10 minute break between meetings, you can have back-to-back meetings all day. So I've personally found, as my clients have found, that they've been able to double, if not triple, the number of conversations they have with customers and prospects in a given week because of the convenience that virtual selling brings. Number five, very important, technology. Virtual selling is reliant on a working knowledge of audio, visual, and lighting communication systems and tools in order to engage in building relationships with buyers. And it starts with being fluent with the right virtual meeting software, having the right virtual backgrounds, making sure that you've got a high quality camera. Your laptop camera is not always the best. Same thing goes with your microphones. Whether I happen to use a Blue Yeti and I use a headset. So having high audio quality is very important. Being able to listen very carefully is important. Lighting is absolutely important. Between lighting and audio quality, that's what leads to what many refer to as Zoom fatigue. So having high quality lighting and good microphones are a great way, as well as cameras, are a great way to make sure that you gain and hold your buying audience's attention. And then finally, as pluses, two items, green screens. Green screens will improve the quality of your video. And if you're giving longer term presentations, you might even look into a teleprompter, whether it's an app that resides right on your laptop, or you have a second device behind your laptop that is a self-paced teleprompter for the presentation that you're giving. And then sixth, it gets right down to what we were talking about briefly a little bit earlier. It's people. The very people and the communication skills they need to master are essential to effective virtual selling and require thorough scrutiny, particularly the old dogs. And I can say that I'm one of them. We need to make sure that we embrace virtual selling. We have the willingness and the capacity to learn new ways to communicate, to interact with our buying audience.
So one of the podcasts I did a little while ago was with two different people. One was a business coach. One was a trainer facilitator. I think based on all the things that you talked about, you know, I think there is going to have to be an investment in people, in technology, in training, in, you know, just feedback of giving people, you know, how to be better presenters, how to, you know, because let's face it, I have a face for radio. That's why I do a podcast. You know, I don't like to get dressed up, but there are times where I'm giving presentations, you know, that you got to put on something, you've got to pull up the green screen, the dog hates the green screen, but, you know, especially in the home environment, you have to learn to kind of adapt to all of these things. So the mindset is one thing. It's getting the old guard to say, I'm willing to adapt to this new stuff, but then the training is important too. What are you seeing as far as the biggest objections? Say you walk into a company and, you know, you look across the room and you got two millennials, you got two 40-year-olds, two 50-year-olds, two 60-year-olds. How do you get all of them aligned on the same concept that this stuff is here to stay?
Great question, because this is a typical selling question. You have to create pain. You have to understand that if you stay and continue to do what you're currently doing, you're not going to be successful in the long run. So the biggest challenge is changing attitudes around virtual selling and getting people to realize we are not going back to in-person meetings for the most part. So changing the attitude and then educating them on the behaviors and the expertise that they need to gain in working with different types of communication systems is absolutely vital. And, you know, this goes back, you know, 20, 30 years. Think about when all we had is desktop computers. Now we got laptop computers. We've got tablets. There's something called unified communications or unified messaging that was introduced over 30 years ago, which was basically saying, you're not going to have a telephone anymore. You're going to be communicating on screen on your laptop or your desktop. So making sure, A, that the attitude is in the right place, B, that everyone is properly equipped, they have the right equipment to be effective at virtual selling, and third is, as you had said, is making sure that they have the right training. And that training, quite frankly, needs to be done virtually. It needs to be role-played, and it needs to be recorded. It needs to be put in a library. You need to make sure that you're able to demonstrate, show good examples of virtual selling versus bad examples, so that in everyone's brain on the left side, on the emotional side, they really get it and know they need to make a change, and they have to invest some time in making, for lack of a better term and the overused term, of pivoting from the way that they used to do things.
Yeah, totally makes sense. And, you know, one of the things that people don't think enough about is the fact that they just are letting their sales team just jump on Zoom and go without giving them, you know, all of the tools that you talked about. So you brought up some really great points, and I'm sure my audience is gonna wanna learn more. So what is the best way for them to learn more about virtual selling, about you and connecting with you?
Thank you for asking, Brian. The two best ways are to call me directly at 630-649-4943, or you can email me at Craig, C-R-A-I-G, at smoothsellingforever.com. And that's the name of my book, and that's the results that we're trying to generate for our clients, is that selling is always smooth for them.
Awesome. I will put a link to that in the show notes so that people can check out your book on Amazon as well. Craig, man, this was a blast. It was fun getting to, you know, kind of dig into the virtual world, and hopefully my people got some great stuff out of this. I got some great stuff out of it, and you dropped some sizzling hot bacon knowledge bombs on my peeps, man. I appreciate you and your time, and this is awesome. I hope to have you on again soon.
You're a cool dude. I am so humbled by having the opportunity to be on your show, man. Thanks.
Thank you for letting us sprinkle some bacon bits into your brains. Want some more? Learn more about this podcast and our guest experts at baconpodcast.com. Have questions? Send them to askbrian@baconpodcast.com. Until next time, keep sizzling. And remember, it's all about the bacon.